this week about this two older couples. And, you know, as Vicky and I are getting older, I realize that, you know, we have a kind of a hard time remembering things. And I heard this story about this two older couple, and, you know, they're getting older and forgetting stuff. And it got so bad, they actually go to the doctor. And they say, man, I forget everything she says, and I forget everything he says. And the doctor says, well, the best thing for you guys to do is just make sure you start writing everything down, and that way you're not going to forget nothing. And they took his advice, and they go home, and that night they're on the couch, and they're watching TV. And his wife looks over and says, you know what? I'd love a bowl of ice cream. That sounds so good. And he goes, don't even worry about it. I'll get up and get it for you. And as the husband gets up into the kitchen to go get the ice cream, the wife reminds him. She says, you better write it down because you're going to forget it by the time you get into the kitchen. And he said, I'm just going to the kitchen. I think I can manage. So he goes in the kitchen. He makes her bacon and eggs. And then afterwards, he comes into the living room and he gives her bacon and eggs. And she looks at him and she goes, you dummy, I told you to write it down. You forgot my toast. Is that good? He went in for ice cream, Tom. So, but it's funny how, you know, when we get things wrong, we want to blame people right away. Oh, man, I've got blaming down to a spiritual gift. I really do. And I've got to be careful because I can blame, like, anything that goes wrong. And if Vicky's near me, it's her fault. And it's just, I've got this weird gift and it's horrible. But, you know, it's something that we got to work on, taking responsibility for our actions, taking responsibility for our walk with Jesus, taking responsibility in our lives to, you know, walk in the way that the Lord wants us to walk and do the things that he wants. We've got to take responsibility for it. And because it's up to you to do it. It's not my job to do it for you. It's your job to do it for yourself. And, you know, when we're looking at Samson in his life, this guy has just been one excuse after another. He hasn't been fellowshipping with God. He hasn't had any purity in his life. He's got no accountability with anybody. You know, and it's like that with people. It's like that with us sometimes. You know, we don't have fellowship with God. We're just too busy. We got too much stuff to do to get up early to make it on Sunday or to read our Bibles during the week. And, you know, it's just, it's kind of a to-do thing, you know, to have fellowship with God is just a check that's on my list that I got to hit. Purity, you know, Samson, this guy, purity's tough today for the fellas, especially for the fellas. You know, we've got, like that old pastor said back, you know, I remember this guy, this pastor, this old timey, he said, you know, back in the day, you would have to look for sin, but now sin looks for you. It's pursuing you wherever we go. And Samson had a purity issue, you guys. You know, he had some weird internet accounts, and he had no accountability. So he just kind of did what he wanted to do. He didn't ask people before he did it. He just kind of acted. You know anybody like that? They're just like, man, I'm driving the ship. I'm not going to get any advice. I'm not going to get any accountability. I'm just going to push it. And this was Samson. No fellowship with God, no purity in his life, and he's calling the shots, and there's zero accountability. And one thing just leads to another. And now, as we're getting in chapter 15, Judges chapter 15, jam over there if you guys got your phone or your Bible. In Judges chapter 15, this guy, he's going to be blaming everybody but himself. But the reason for Samson's downfall, it's because of these things. He's just fallen out with the Lord. But what amazes me and what we're going to constantly see is that even though this guy was as messed up as he was, that God used this man, even blessed him. That's the problem I've got. Because when you're this messed up, am I thinking is you're going to bless somebody like this, Lord? But as we read last week, the Bible said, and he was blessed by God. Didn't say that by any other judges. But here you got this guy that's just riding the wheels, you know, riding life till the wheels fall off. And the Lord's blessing him at everything he does. The problem is he doesn't have a relationship with the Lord. He's blessed, but he doesn't have a relationship. And so because of that blessing and no relationship, there's this inside turmoil going on in his heart that's got this boy split two different ways between the world on one side and then doing what's right on the other. And he lived a miserable life. Sad. As we look, you know, through the rest of this, and we're going to finish up his story, I think, next week. But man, this guy was miserable. We need the relationship. It's good to be blessed by the Lord, but it's better to know him and hang out with them. So in verse 1 of chapter 15, things go from bad to worse with Samson. It says in chapter 15, verse 1, after a while in the time of wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat. And he said, let me go into my wife and into her room. But her father would not permit him to go in. And her father said to Samson, I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please take her in instead. You know, this is a rough situation because last Sunday, things got out of hand at the wedding. I mean, there was a lot of drinking and a lot of people, and kind of sounds like every year when I was growing up at home with family reunions during the holiday, there was booze and then there was boxing. I mean, they would just like drink and get crazy. And it was weird because they would like hate each other. I mean, this is Christmas. We're supposed to be celebrating Jesus, and they're getting plastered, beating each other up and wrecking each other so bad in Christmas, it took all year to meet again, to get drunk again and start it all over. It's like a party where just a family reunion where things are getting out of hand at this wedding. And what happened at the wedding was it was literally a kegger. In the Hebrew, it's like kegger. And what's Samson supposed to not be doing? Drinking. And what happens? 30 dudes end up dead. 30 guys end up dead. He ends up calling his wife a cow. And then his bride is given to his best man by her dad. That's pretty messed up. That's like things getting really crazy. And so at this wedding, things are just going from bad to worse. And there's this gnarly situation where Samson pulls up and he's probably coming back thinking last week, you know, I blew things out of proportion when I got drunk. When I killed those 30 guys and I called my wife a cow, that was, and read it, it's there. Had you not plowed with my heifer, is what he said about his wife. Not getting off to a good start. And I think Samson now, it says in these two verses, he comes back and he's probably thinking he blew some things out of proportion and he overreacted. Do you know anybody that overreacts when they get angry? They just start firing off texts or brake checking the guy following behind them. Or leaving the one star at Walmart when you're checking out because you're angry about the parking. I know somebody that does that every day. Actually, I got caught. It's me. I'm the person. It's me. I'm the one. I actually got caught doing it last week. I always give them a one star because I'm angry at them because they put all that parking for like ship and clip that nobody parks in. And we've got to park anyways. So I always give them a one star because I want to encourage them. That's why I give them a one star because I want them to do better. And the cashier saw it. And she, and I mean, how dare her be creeping up on me anyway? And she came up, she goes, only one star? And Vicky was right there, and I was like, oh, man, it's just because, you know, and I'm starting to lie profusely. I was so embarrassed. I was just like, man, I just think you guys should make more money. It was weird. It was like, I didn't want to go into it. But, you know, you can overreact. You know, you get upset, and you just, like, blowing things out of proportion and getting crazy. And so what Samson does is like any guy that gets busted or is in trouble with his wife, he goes back with, you know, flowers. But, you know, do you ever do that? I will say this. When I see men checking out with flowers, this is the truth. I don't think they're good husbands. That's not my first thought. My first thought is you are busted. Something's not right. And then when I go and just do it for Vicky because I love her, then I feel like I'm getting judged by every man in Walmart. I'm like, they're looking at me like I did something. I just want to tell everybody, I said, I didn't do nothing wrong. I just love my wife. But that's what you do. You go back, right? You got some chocolate or flowers. And instead, Samson's like, hey, I'm going to bring her a goat. And he drives into town and he brings this goat and he's trying to bury the hatchet. But don't tell him, because there's his bride is with another brother. As he shows up with this goat, I mean, culturally, they were going to have a barbecue. You know, it's kind of weird how they're in the middle of a big fight, and he comes back like nothing happened. And, you know, they're going to have a barbecue, and everything's going to be all right. Well, turns out his wife is given to some other dude, and Samson goes to her father-in-law, let me go into her room. He's wanting to hang out with her. You know, well, you know what we mean, right? And the dad's like, hey, man, that's not a good idea right now. She's a little busy. And it's with your best man. This poor fool. So now the situation is just going to end up going crazy and bonkers. He's going to blame the Philistines. He's going to blame his family. He's going to blame everybody, but he's not going to take responsibility for himself. But he's definitely going to blame everybody else. And he's going to start wrecking people and tearing them up. And what we're going to see is he's going to say, I'm going to do to these guys as they've done to me. You know, when it comes to, like, revenge, how do we deal with revenge? And one of the best ways to do it is, like, you know, the Lord was talking about, to forgive people. He said, if your enemy sins against you, you know, you want to forgive them. It's like you want to bless them, because it's like heaping coals on their head, hot coals. And I remember when I first read that years ago, I was thinking, oh, okay, so if my enemy hates me, burn him up, thrash him, cut him down, beat him up. That's what it means, dump, because to me, it's like, man, you put some fire on somebody's head, it's going to hurt. But what it was is when some, you know, starting a fire was hard. You didn't have a Bic lighter. So you'd have to have coals going all the time, and then your coals would burn out. You'd have to go find a neighbor that had some coals that you could go borrow to get your fire going again. So Jesus is saying, if your enemy's fire goes out, if he's got no, you know, he can't cook, and he doesn't have no heat, and he comes to your house, load him up with coals. Forgive him, send him on his way. Well, that's a tough one. Someone who hurts you. Man, sometimes people don't even hurt us. We get things wrong in our head, and we go crazy on them. And so Samson, he's going to do the opposite of what the Lord was telling us to do with our enemies. And, you know, he's, you know, in verse 3, it says, then Samson said to them, this time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and he took torches and turned the foxes tail to tail and put a torch between each pair of tails. When he had set torches on fire, he let the foxes go in the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and the olive groves. He's angry. And he's getting creative on how he's going to pay people back. Do you know anybody like that? Where they get so mad, they just don't pay you back, but they got creative on how they were going to do that. Have you ever done it? Don't raise your hand. I bet you have. I bet you've been so mad, you're like, I'm going to get creative on this one. Vicky does it. I remember I had a problem years and years ago of leaving my dirty clothes in the bedroom. All over the floor. Kind of looked like a Goodwill store that got hit by a bomb. And, you know, she would tell me, you need to pick up your clothes. Put them in the dirty clothes. I'm not your mom. And I was like, oh, thank God for that. Well, I wouldn't listen. And so something weird happened. Like I was, you know, and you guys know I'm very self-cautious about, like, I want to smell good. I want to be clean. I'm just a clean dude. I love cologne, you know, I want to be clean, I take a shower every day before I go to bed, you know, I brush my teeth, stuff like that, it matters to me. And I was putting on clothes and they were stinking, like BO and just man. And I'm like, what the heck? And this was going on like day after day. And I'm like, babe, something, there's dirty clothes in my dresser drawers. You're not doing the laundry right. She's like, oh, no, I am. That's your clothes you've been leaving on the floor. And I was like, okay, I get it. I get the picture. And I can tell you now, my bedroom floor is spotless. You can ask her. The truth is I haven't learned, but I smell everything before I wear it now. But the point of it is like getting creative. The Bible tells us he grabs 300 foxes. Like the eagles should take note of this dude's tactic. Like these 300 foxes, he catches them and ties them tail to tail. You know, foxes, I don't know how this guy did it. You know, when you read this stuff, you're like, that sounds a little far-fetched to me. Well, it doesn't say nobody didn't help him. It didn't tell us how long it took. But man, foxes are smart, you guys. You don't ever see them on the side of the road like you do raccoons, do you? Or even a coyote. Because they're smart, they're fast, they're agile, and, powerful. I was golfing with a guy this week, and thanks, Tom, for those clubs, man. I've been burning them up. Went out, and this guy was from Australia, and we were playing on the golf course. He was talking about kangaroos beating him up on the golf course in Australia. And he's like, man, mate, they're so strong and all this stuff, right? And I'm like, you're out there golfing, and they jump you? He's like, they do. And they beat you up. And, I thought, okay, that's weird. But the weirdest thing was as we're golfing, he just nonstop wanted me to take pictures of him every time he saw a squirrel. Because he's like, we don't have squirrels over there. And, like, we're golfing and we're on, like, hole 7. He hears chirp, 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 chirp. He's like, hey, mate, is that a squirrel? I'm like, yeah, it's a squirrel. He's like, hey, can you get a picture? And I'm like, okay. And then I'm taking pictures of this guy, and I'm just wanting to golf, and I'm ended up being this guy's personal assistant. I'm like, dude, they're everywhere here. These stinking squirrels are everywhere, man. But these foxes there, they're everywhere. And they're hard to get. So I don't know how he did it, you guys. The Bible doesn't say what he did. But what does happen is that he makes a rash decision in his anger. He's furious. And I want to encourage you guys, you know, as we're looking through the life of Samson, when you're furious, that's not the time to make some decisions. You know, that's the time to back it up a little bit. He's reacting is what he's doing, isn't he? And there is a difference, and you guys know this, between someone who's going to react and somebody who acts. You know, if you react and you're furious and you're angry, it's just like, man, I'm going to do whatever and say whatever. And then, you know, it's embarrassing. Acting is like, okay, wait a second. Recognizing my cue, this is making me angry, right? And that's your next step is like, what am I going to do? I got to pray about this. Like, I'm furious. And again, Samson's just a reacting type of dude. He's not level-headed. He's just everything that happens to him, he reacts to. He doesn't act. He reacts. And so he gets these foxes. He turns them together and, sends them out in the field and he burns up all their food and grain. And by the way, we all have bad days, right? You know, we don't get it right every day with our anger. We make a lot of bad decisions, you guys. And that's why I'm so thankful to the Lord about this story is because over and over again, we see God still using, loving him, encouraging him, being there. And I love that about the Lord. I love it because, you know, if I didn't see that about Jesus, I would get so discouraged daily. Man, I would get so discouraged. You know, you guys blow it on your neighbors, people driving, your spouse. You know, it goes on and on and on. And you're just like, man, Lord, don't have nothing to do with me. I'm a train wreck. And the Lord's like, man, I love you. I see it. We're going to get through it together. And the one thing about Samson's story is that although he was a train wreck, man, the Lord, you can't say the Lord ever left him. So Samson lets these foxes out in verse 6. It says, then the Philistine says, who did this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he's taken his wife and he's given him to his companion. That's going to be kind of a big deal. And so the Philistines came and they burned her and her father with fire. And then Samson said to them, now, since you would do a thing like this, I'm surely going to take vengeance on you. And after that, I will cease. And so he attacked them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And then he went down and he dwelt in the cleft of the rock of Etam. And so Samson, reacting to everything that happens to him, goes and he tells them, listen, I'm going to wreck you guys. When it says he attacked them hip and thigh, that's a biblical word for they got the beat down. They got the beat down. They got the beat up. They got beat sideways. They got messed up. And hip and thigh. And he says, this is what I'm going to do to you guys. Because you did this to me, I'm going to do this to you. And then after I've whooped you so thoroughly, then I will cease. That's a tough guy. That's a tough guy that says that. Because he's projecting how this is going to roll. I'm going to beat you down so bad, and then I'm going to let it up, and we'll all go to Lee's Walk and have a good night. He's calling shots, this guy. And so Samson, you know, he's hurt. And what do hurt people do? They hurt, right? Hurt people hurt people. And so he's like, you did it to me, I'm going to do it to you. How do we break that revenge cycle again? You remember in Luke 17, and the Lord was saying, hey, you know what? If you got a problem with somebody and there's repentance, forgive them. And that means on our part, when we're getting crazy, and what's he doing? He's just like, you did it to me, I'm going to do it to you. What did Jesus say? And that's one of the most misquoted verses, I think, in the Bible. Do unto others as they've done unto you. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, as you would have done unto you, do to them. And we flip that switch and we're like, man, he did it to me, I'm going to do it to them. And this is what makes Christianity so hard and weird, is that we forfeit the right to attack back. We don't have the luxury as Christians to attack back, to do unto others as they've done unto us. Instead, the Lord tells us, you know what? This is the way you break that cycle in your life, because like Samson, he ends up in the cleft of a rock by himself, because anytime anybody ever said anything to him, anytime anybody ever did anything to him, anytime somebody crossed him, he had to deal with it, and now he's alone. Because he can't keep his mouth shut. And so now he's hanging out by himself, feeling sorry for himself. It's everybody's fault, and everybody's against me, and I'm against everybody else. And you know, it's a reminder that, man, we've got to repent. Like, we've got to think outside of ourselves. We've got to repent of when we're getting crazy and doing weird stuff, and we need to forgive too. It's like a forgive and repent type of thing. So Samson is, he's doing the opposite of what Jesus has told us to do and what he did for us, you guys. You know, every time I look in the scripture, I always think how the Lord never tells us to do something he didn't do for us already. We're blood-bought sinners, blood-bought with the price of Christ's blood. And he did unto us as we did not do to him. And all Jesus is saying is, listen, extend that what I've extended to you. And if you're here this morning, you're in a place and you're just like, man, I'm really holding a grudge right now. I'm upset. Man, you can live like that and be miserable. Or you can just get over yourself and say, listen, the Lord's pointing me to a better way. Because at some point in your life, you're going to want to break that cycle that you're in. It's not a good place. So in verse 9, after Samson's there in the rock crying by himself, it says, now the Philistines went up and they encamped in Judah. They're going after Samson. Excuse me. And they developed and they deployed themselves against Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why have you come up against us? And they answered, we've come up to arrest Samson to do to him as he's done to us. Here it comes again. This is a weird theme. Over and over, like somebody here today's got a problem with doing unto others as they've done unto you. I don't know who you are, but man, the Bible's getting you right now. And he says that we've come to do it to him as he's done to us. And he said to them, oh, but they said in verse 12, we've come down to, they say to Samson, we've come down to arrest you that we may deliver you into the hands of the Philistine. And then Samson said to them, swear to me that you won't kill me yourselves. And so they spoke to him saying, no, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into their hands, but we will surely not kill you. And they bound him with two new ropes, and they brought him up from the rock. And then when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against Samson. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes were like on his arms became like flax burnt with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands, and he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand, took it, and he killed 1,000 men with it. And Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, and with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. And so Samson is wanted by the Philistine police department. They go to Judah, and this is a sad thing. The people in Judah that they go to for Samson, those are his people that he's supposed to be leading. Samson is what? A judge. He's supposed to be leading them, and his people are wanting to flip him over to the Philistines. And it's sad to see, actually, because, you know, when your own people, you can't trust them. It's, you know, it's a sad thing, but I look at it, and I'm thinking, but is Samson actually a leader for these guys? I mean, he is a leader. God called him to be a leader and a judge, but is he doing it? He's messing around with prostitutes. He's throwing keggers. He's got no fellowship with the Lord. This guy's not leading anybody. It's like, it's all him. It's like if you own a business and you got guys working for you, you're the hardest. Here's the, let me give you a little tip. You're going to be the hardest worker. Somebody, when you own a business, get up early, stay late. You don't have the luxury of calling in sick. You're the guy. And it's like you're going to have to set the standard. And if you're, you know, showing up to work high and you're late and you're calling in to your guys making excuses, why they're not going to respect that. So Samson's off the rails, and his people are like, man, we're going to turn you on over. And that's a sad thing. So he's arguing with his own people like a four-year-old in the sippy cup. I just did to them what they did to me. I just did to them what they did to me. And so Samson, you got to let the movie run in your mind. He goes, they arrest him. He's bound up. He goes before the Philistines. We're almost done. But they bound him up. He goes before the Philistines, and it says he took a jawbone, a fresh one. I mean, how do you even find that? And he starts whooping thousands of men. And I wonder, was it like he was teeing off on these guys? Like each one guy, he's got this big old donkey bone, and he's like, you know, they're running up, and he's like, four, boom, there goes one, there goes another. Every time they're rushing him, he's just bam, bam, bam. Heel hooking guys, killing them by choking them out. Or maybe he was like Flash Gordon. Maybe he was like, boom, popping one guy, and then like 5 seconds later, he's over there hitting four other people. I can tell you this, that what it says is that this guy ends up beating so many people, he comes up with like another riddle. Heaps. This is kind of freaky. Heaps. He's talking about people he killed. Heaps upon heaps. I'm piling them up. Remember Charles Manson? I saw an interview on him on Dateline or something back in the day. And they asked him, they said, hey, when you get out, man, if you ever get out, what you gonna do? It's online. You should check it out. It's very freaky. He says, oh, man, they ain't going to let me out. He goes, they let me out. And he starts going, right, doing all that weird Charles Manson business. Almost, and this is what he said, almost stack them heaps upon heaps upon heaps till they reach the sky. And I was like, good Lord, that scares me. And I'm like, nowhere near Pelican Bay. I'm like, this guy's a freak. The word heaps just smells bad. I've stacked them up to the sky. And so Samson, he's getting his rage out. He's acting on it. He's reacting. You know, it makes sense to him. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. You do this to me, I'm going to do this to you. And so it says in verse 17, and so it was, when he finished speaking, that he threw the jawbone from his hand, and he called that place Ramoth Lehi. That actually means jawbone heights, kind of like Aquinnah Heights, but a little different. Then he became very thirsty. Even that sentence freaks me out. Why? Because he just piled heaps upon heaps of dudes. And now he needs an Aquafina. I bet he does. This is kind of freaky. This guy's thirsty. And it says that after this victory, he becomes thirsty, and so he cries out to the Lord. That's interesting. You have given your servant and this great deliverance by the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? You know what's funny about that? Is this guy never cries out to the Lord unless he's complaining. So now he's got a problem, and he's blaming it on the Lord. And in verse 19, so God split the hollow place that's in Lehi, and the water came out, and he drank, and his spirit returned, and he revived, and therefore he called its name En Hakkor, which is in Lehi to this day, and he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. It's interesting, and we'll just close right there, but, you know, he gets this, goes out, and he has this excellent victory. And every time I'm looking at scripture, I'm kind of like, well, what's that got to do with me, man? I don't want to pile nobody up like that. But I think about victories that God gives us in our life. Could be financial, could be a health, could be a goal thing, you know, Lord blessing you, giving you a victory. And then it says, after that victory, he became very thirsty and dependent upon the Lord. And I thought, man, that's a perfect picture of us. That every time we have these one step up victories, there's always going to be a trial right there along the way. Why? Because the Lord's got to satisfy our thirst every step of the way. And I want to just kind of close with this. You know, as I looked at that and we see Samson defeating all these guys, did you notice it wasn't until he surrendered that the Spirit of the Lord fell on this guy? When he surrendered, when he gave up, that's when the Spirit of the Lord fell on that guy and empowered him. And if you're here today and you're like, man, what's the hack? How do I do this? Or if you're dealing with like temptation issues and it's a battle and you're just getting wrecked, how do I deal with it? You surrender, you give up to the Lord, and you say, man, Lord, I surrender, this is it, I can't do it. And it's at that moment, you guys, when we surrender, some of you guys got fear issues, you know, anxiety is a real thing, and you need to get over it, but you're going to have to surrender to the Lord your life. You know, when it comes to fear, I just kind of look back over my life. If any of you are dealing with that today, I don't know if you are, but I kind of look at fear like over my life, I kind of think about how many times I got to a place where I was just like, man, this is it. I'm over. Done. And then how many times the Lord came in and either provide, healed, something. And, you know, I think maybe it comes with older age, it helps, you know, wisdom a little bit, but you're going to learn that you can trust the Lord. You're going to learn that, and he's going to make you learn it, and that's the thing about it, but you got to surrender. And so would you guys stand with me? We're going to take communion and celebrate the greatest surrender. You know, if you want God to work in your life this morning, in your families, it's a good time to remember, surrender yourself to the Lord. Surrender yourself to the Lord. When you guys are out there, you're working and you're going, you're raising your families and doing all your thing, I want you to remember that this morning. It's when Samson surrendered himself that the Spirit of the Lord fell on this man. It's the way we got to do it, you guys. We got to do it. And you know what? The Lord's good to us. He heals our marriages. He provides for our families. He gives health to our bodies. Fixes messed up situations and dirty pasts. I love that about the Lord, you guys. But we got to do it by surrender. That's it. Can't keep fighting out there. And, you know, like, just doesn't go well. Just goes from bad to worse. But when we surrender to the Lord, that's when there's victory. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. And, you know, as we take communion, we remember of the greatest surrender in history, that you chose to die on a cross, Lord, that you would lay your life down for us, and we're blood bought, covered, forgiven, and redeemed. And we thank you for that, Lord. You know, and not only that, but you desire to, like, strengthen us and empower us to pour your spirit out and in us, Lord. You said, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Lord, we thank you that you're a satisfier of our thirst. We thank you that you give us the power and the strength, Lord, to do what's right, walk in your ways. Lord, I pray over all my brothers and sisters here this morning that, Lord, if there's an area in their life that they need to surrender, Lord, that they would just, that you just lay it on their heart right now, even now. That they'd bring that thing before you, Lord. And then trust and believe as they lay it before your feet and lay it down and surrender that you're going to give them strength over that. Lord, over and over, we see that we can't, but you can, and we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.